Luke chapter number 20, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 8. Today is our communion service, and we're going to be having communion together. Luke chapter number 20, from verse 1. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" But he answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe me?' Or believe him, rather. But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." You know, some years ago, my family and I, we went to Hillary's, you know, just to have some time together. When we got there, I, like in the usual way, we found several people, several stores, you know, selling stuffs. But there was a particular store that caught my attention because of the length of the queue of people, you know, waiting in line, you know, to purchase whatever from the store. And I was surprised. I was like, oh, this guy must be making a lot of money because of the length of the queue. And I felt it's either the commodity or whatever is being sold by this person is really so good that people will want to have it at all costs. Because it was a sunny day and people were all in the line, on the line, you know, ready to make their purchase. I felt it must be so good, or it must be so cheap, you know, for people to want to purchase it. So I wanted to find out what exactly was being sold, you know, because some of us like cheap things, you know, like many of you. I wanted to find out exactly what was being sold by this particular store person. So I moved towards the front of the line, and I discovered, to my amazement, that it was not bread or one of those, you know, ice cream or whatever, that it was actually a person in that store who was a palm reader. So basically, he was reading the palms of people to tell them about their future, to give them answers to their questions. And everywhere you go these days, there are many of us who are actually asking questions, who are trying to find answers to those questions in our hearts. And I felt it's going to be a good idea for us to find out what Jesus did when he had an encounter with certain people who were looking for answers to a particular question. I've titled today's message, "When Questions Are Best Answers." When questions are best answers. Let us pray. Father, as we go into your word this morning, we recognize the word in there is not ours, but yours. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you will breathe upon your word this morning. Let it come alive unto us. Especially let it give us a perspective of yours to the questions in our heart, especially regarding our life, our purpose, our future, and our destiny. Lord, I ask that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people, my brethren, this morning to receive this word. And that, Lord, as I speak your word this morning, let it connect with them. Let it bring illumination into their hearts. I ask that you anoint my tongue and, Lord, you make it like the pen of a ready writer, so that your word will distill this morning as the rain, will come out as the dew of the morning, so that all of us, both the speaker and the hearer, will have been tremendously blessed by your word. We thank you because you're going to do this and much many more, because we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, amen. You know, an average adult is said to make thousands of decisions every day. As a matter of fact, many sources put it at about 35,000 decisions every day on the average. I know you're going to have quarrels with that because you don't even think you'd make two decisions in a day. But what they have taken together to come up with these thousands of decisions as the average, like I said, of 35,000, are this, what you refer to as simple decisions that you make. You know, what do I drink this morning? How much water do I take this morning? Which road do I take to work? You know, do I sit down or stand up? Those are decisions that you make that come from the level of the subconscious. You don't even know that you have made a decision, but those are actually decisions. Should I go to church today or not? You know, what should I wear? What sort of shoes do I put on? You know, what perfume do I wear? Which one of them, especially for some of you that have many of them? I don't have that question because there's only just one, you know. So those are decisions that we make every day, and there are thousands of them. Now, these decisions drive our actions, or should I say our inactions. The decisions that we make will either make us to do something or to desist from doing something. But what you may not realize is that those decisions are actually product of answers to questions. They are product of answers to the questions that you are asking within yourself and within your subconscious. So your actions are product of your decisions. Your decisions are product of your answers to certain questions that you are asking yourself. In other words, our decisions are in fact traceable to certain questions that we ask ourselves. Like I just gave you an instance, what am I going to wear this morning? You don't say that out, but the decision of which of your clothes that you put on is just a reflection of the answer that you have given to that question. So all of our decisions in life are based on answers to certain questions. Now, so when we ask wrong questions, it is very likely that we're going to arrive at the wrong answer, and acting on those wrong answers is going to, we are going to make decisions, wrong decisions, based on the answers that we have preferred to the wrong questions that have propped up within our mind. These questions that are hacked in our heart at the level of our subconscious. Conversely, if you're to make good decisions, those good decisions will have to be predicated on quality questions. So the kind of questions that you ask yourself determine the kind of answers that you get, which automatically also determine the kind of decisions that you make. Let me give you a good example. Someone just lost his job because of COVID-related matters, you know, and for the next 6 months, he's not able to get a job, even though he has attended quite a number of interviews. Such a person may ask himself this question: what is wrong with me that caused me to be laid off work? What is wrong with me that caused me to be laid off work? Or he might even ask the second question and say, what is wrong with me that I've been unable to get a job despite attending several interviews? Now, that is where the problem actually starts regarding the decisions. Why? Because the question is starting on a wrong premise. And what is the wrong premise? The wrong premise is that this gentleman or this fellow has assumed that there must be something wrong with him. What is wrong with me that I got laid off? It's only simply asking that something is wrong with me, and so the mind goes to work to find what is wrong with you. So the eventual decision that is going to come out of there is going to be based on the wrong premise and on the wrong question that has been asked at the level of the subconscious. So the decision obviously is going to be wrong, and of course the action is going to be wrong, and that's why When the mind will go to work, it's not going to be finding other solutions. It's going to be finding solution to the question that you have asked in your subconscious. What is wrong with me? And the mind will begin to work and say, maybe you're too fat. Maybe you're too slim. Maybe you're too inexperienced. Maybe you're too vocal. Maybe you're too assertive at work. And those are the reasons, those are going to form the basis of the decisions that the person is going to make. Rather than asking what is wrong with me, why don't this person, for instance, in my opinion, a better question would have been, how do I ensure that my next interviewer find me irresistible? Now, if you ask that question, you are likely going to be finding reasons why you will make your next interview to be so good such that your interviewer will have no choice but to hire you. And then the mind will begin to follow and look for answers to that question. Now, what I'm saying is this. Every decision that we make is a product of a question that we have asked at the level of the subconscious. And so it is important for us to ask good questions so that we can get great answers, which will eventually lead us to making decisions that will give us a platform to act right or to pursue a very good action. Now, we have come to this particular passage of the Bible, an encounter with the Lord Jesus, and we have come across those people who are going to be asking questions. By the way, let me also say that one of the reasons why we actually are encouraged to read the scriptures, to familiarize ourselves with the Bible, to expose ourselves to Bible teachings like this one this morning, is simply because it helps us to shape our subconscious, what some people refer to as the mind. Now, not every question is directly answered in the Bible. No, not every question is directly answered in the Bible. You're not going to be looking for an answer to a question like, do I put my kid in a private school or in a public school? You're not going to find that here. Do I buy a Mercedes-Benz or do I buy a Chrysler? You won't find it here. Now, but what this will help you to do is that it will shape your subconscious so that you will begin to ask the right question that will generate an answer upon which you will make a good decision. That's what this will do. So the Word of God has a way of cutting off the hedges around the way your mind works such that it's now the time for you to make decision. The question that is going to pop up in your subconscious is going to be the right question that is going to help you to provide the solution to the problem. Are you following what I'm saying this morning, people of God? Now, so it is important for everyone who wants to make the right decision to be able to ask the right question. Interestingly, these questions are not necessarily questions that come from external sources. More often than not, they are questions that come from within our hearts, and then we need to provide a solution to that. Now, but where I'm going this morning is to talk to about a group of people who have come to Jesus, and they have come to Jesus to ask what you refer to as a good question. How do I mean? Jesus was in a particular place, and these people, the Bible referred to them as the priests, the elders, the scribes. These are the, you know, what you refer to as the Sanhedrin. In their day and time, they had people that actually held high offices as judicial or religious leaders. Don't forget, these people in their time, many of the judicial leaders are also religious leaders. So these were great minds. They were going to come and to ask Jesus certain questions. Now, they have come to ask about the right subject. They have come to ask the right person. And you will even argue that they have come to us at the right place. The right subject, what it is. They have come to ask Jesus about authority. If you are familiar with Jesus, you will know that Jesus will be very excited to tell them about authority. You know, as a matter of fact, prior to this time, if you go to Luke chapter number 10, Jesus, after the 70 had returned to him, they were so excited. They said, even the demons, they answer to us in your name. They obey us, you know, at the mention of your name. And Jesus said, you know, behold, I have given you authority. I've given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So they have come to ask Jesus about something, that a subject that Jesus was interested in to talk about. Some of you will know those subjects that you are interested in. I mean, there are certain subjects that you bring across my way. I'll just make one or two statements and that will be it. But there are some that you dare not bring it where I am because for the next 30 minutes, 1 hour, we're still going to be talking about it. Why? Because I'm passionate about that. Authority issue is something Jesus was passionate about and is still passionate about. And so they have come to ask the right question. Not just that, they have come to ask the right person. I mean, who else will you want to ask about the question of authority but the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus was the one that they came to ask, so they have come to ask the right person. And you could even argue that they have come to the right place. You know, this actually happened in the temple. The Bible says in verse number 1, Luke chapter 20, verse 1. Now it happened on one of those days as he taught the people in the temple. So this actually took place in the temple. It's more or less like saying that they came to a Bible study to ask Jesus questions. So they have come to ask about the right subject. They are asking the right person. And they have come to the right place to ask that question. Yet they did not get an answer, or at least they did not get a direct answer to their question. Rather, what they got was a question. So they asked a question, and what they got was a question. Now, by the way, while we were in that neighborhood, it was not an unusual thing for Jewish rabbi to ask questions from his disciples or from the people that they are engaging with in terms of argument or having conversation. You know, Jesus has a lot of questions, you know, it was not even unusual for the teacher or the rabbi to ask counter questions. In other words, you ask a question and then he asks a question back. So this was not an unusual thing. You remember in Luke chapter number 18, there was a rich young ruler. The Bible says he came to Jesus, Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And he asked Jesus, good teacher, or good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the next thing Jesus was going to say in verse 19 is, why do you call me good? You know, I mean, I just ask you a question, answer the question. Well, Jesus says, why do you call me good? Now, the reason for that is this. Jesus was a great question asker, if you want to put it that way. But his approach to asking questions is quite different from ours. Now, we ask questions for answers. Jesus asks questions for awareness. He asks those questions to create an awareness, to make you to dig deeper into the details and the context of the question that you have asked. We ask questions for information. Jesus, on the other hand, has questions to begin the process of transformation. And that's exactly what we have found in this case. So those people have come to the right person, they have asked the right question, and they have come to the right place. Now, the question is this. Why then did Jesus not answer that question directly? You know, why did he not answer question directly? And the reason why we are asking it, and somebody will say, so why exactly do you want to know about that? It's simple. It's because many of us are asking certain questions, and we are not getting what we would consider an answer to those questions. And we begin to ask ourselves, so why does it seem like I'm not getting answers to this question? I mean, this question is about my life, is about my purpose, is about my future, it's about everything I want to know. So why do I not get answers to this question? Now, part of the reason may be exactly what is playing out here in this passage. And I just want you to stay with me and pay very good attention. You know, because Jesus is going to be asking or answering a question with a question here. But the question that he's going to be asking is going to be opening up a new room, if you like, of information that you and I, we can glean up or we can glean from. Perhaps it will make sense the reason why some of us don't seem to be getting answers or direct answers to the questions that we are asking. You know, it's like the story of a man that somebody came to and said, you know, I understand that you always ask answer questions with questions. I mean, when people come to you and they ask you questions, you always answer them with questions. And the guy said, no, that's not true. Who said that? You know? He said, that just confirms what I said, you know? All right, so we have come to this place. I'm just trying to paint the picture. Jesus here teaching, and these people came. These were noble men in Israel, and they're going to be asking him questions. And the question they asked him was this, in verse number two, tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority? Who gave you this authority? By what authority are you doing these things? Now, the truth of the matter is, these people have not come with a sincere, open mind. They have actually come to trap Jesus, and Jesus knew that. And that was going to be enough reason for Jesus to have refused to answer their question. In this instance, you can say that's the reason why Jesus didn't actually answer the question, and you won't be wrong, but it goes deeper than that. There is a principle that I believe that God will want to share with us here, and that's why I believe it's probably put there in the scriptures. Because prior to this time, if you go a few verses before, and I'm talking about Luke chapter 19, verse 47, these same people have come across Jesus in verse number 47 of Luke chapter 19. The Bible says, and he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. So this was what they had in mind. They sought to destroy him. Luke chapter number 19, verse 47. Verse 48 says, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. So they were not really pleased with the way Jesus was teaching. They were looking for an opportunity to trap him. And they felt the best way to do that would be to get Jesus to fall into what is referred to as blasphemy, so that they will be able to catch him, so to say, on his words and say, you said it, this is blasphemy, and so we're going to put you to death, because that was supposed to be the penalty of blasphemy, saying things that is against God or saying things that you don't have the capacity as humans to say. And that was the reason why they came. So in this instance, you will be very right to say Jesus didn't answer them because he knew they were not sincere. But it goes deeper than that. Somebody will say, perhaps Jesus didn't want to say that because they would accuse him of blasphemy and they were going to put him to death. Jesus was not afraid of death here. As a matter of fact, this was going to be his last journey to Jerusalem. In a few days, he was going to be crucified anyway. And he knew that. He had already told his disciples about that this was going to be his last journey to Jerusalem. So he was not really very much afraid about death. But there is something Jesus will say to them, which I believe we should pay attention to. The reason why is this. We often ask questions about our life and our future. Many of us ask questions about our purpose. You know, why am I here? What am I doing here? What's going to happen to me in 10 years? And these are great, legitimate questions. But Jesus is going to flip it around, and he's going to tell us to look at it from a different perspective, which is what I believe actually applies to you and I today. You remember the story of going to Hillary that I talked about earlier? All the people that were there, far many of them were concerned about their future. They wanted to know about their future. They wanted to know about their purpose, their destiny, what's going to happen to them if they make this decision and if they take that step. But Jesus is going to flip it around, and he's going to tell us about a different perspective that will perhaps need to view the questions in our hearts and in our lives, and to tell us about the kind of questions that we should actually be addressing, maybe not the ones that we have addressed over the years. Look at what it says in verse number 3. But he answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. Verse 4. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Don't forget, these guys are not sincere, so they quickly rallied themselves together and said, verse 5 says, and they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. Now, these people, from what has been said here, they knew about John. They were impressed about John's ministry. They were amazed by John's ministry. John, I've been talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they did not engage with that ministry. They did not in any way align themselves with the teaching of John. They knew it was from God. They knew he was saying the truth. But they did not align with that truth that John was speaking about. Why? Because they're going to lose all the powers if they begin to follow the teaching of John. John was preaching about repentance. These guys were comfortable with holding on to the traditions of the fathers so that they would keep people in perpetual religious bondage. Because that was where they derived all of their clout, all of the respect from people. So for them to throw that away and begin to follow the teaching of John was going to be to them a crazy idea. Now, Jesus knew exactly that was their problem. They didn't want to throw the traditions of their fathers away to engage with the true teaching of John. And Jesus asked them, so why didn't you, the baptism of John, was it from God or from men? Of course, they knew it was from God. And they said, look, if we say from God, we'll ask us, so why didn't you follow his teaching? You know, why didn't you not believe him? Because to believe him means to follow his teaching and his order. He has been preaching repentance. But if we say from men, they looked around, there was a large crowd. Don't forget, this was in the temple. There were other people there. People would say, what are you talking about? And they would pick up stone and stone them to death because everyone knew it was a teaching from God. What is Jesus talking about here? Why is Jesus talking about John? They were just asking Jesus about his authority. Where did you get your authority? So why would Jesus bring up the subject of John to them? Simple. Because Jesus knew that everyone knew about the ministry of John. If you like, you say it was a revealed answer to the people. It was something everyone knew came from God. So Jesus is saying that John was the one that revealed the truth. And it appears that you have not engaged with what is revealed. So why are you looking for what is hidden? Now, by the way, you understand that John actually talked about Jesus a lot. As a matter of fact, a very major part of John's ministry was about the Lord Jesus Christ. So for them to be asking Jesus about his authority, Jesus is asking them, why are you asking for the authority? Why haven't you engaged with what was before me? Because John was before Jesus. I want you to look at something in Luke chapter number 9, John chapter number 1. I just quickly want to establish something. Look, where we're going is not far at all, but I just want you to get this. John chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you from verse 19. Now, this set of people, they had previously engaged with John. So this same set of people, and this was the engagement. And I'm just going to read it to you. John chapter 1, verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews, they sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? So they came to ask John, who are you? Now, why are they asking that question? They have seen some tremendous thing about this John's ministry that was completely different from the other people in Israel. And this, at this point in time, was about 300, 400 years of no preaching, no teaching of the word. They call it the Dark Age. Okay, so all of a sudden, these guys came to the scene and said, repentance. And so they came to him. Who exactly are you? Verse 20, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Okay? And they asked him, what then are you, Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. So these guys had actually been sent by the highest judicial or religious authority in the land. And they wanted to find out who exactly are you because your ministry is kind of different. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, okay? And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John, who are you? John said, look, if you're looking for the Christ or the Messiah, I am not the person. But that person is amongst you, okay? And then in the next verse, verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. Let's just stop there. The summary of this engagement is, this same set of people that have come to Jesus now had previously been to John, and John had told them, I am not the Christ, I am not the Messiah, I am not the one that has the authority, all right? But I have a ministry, and the ministry that I've got is that ministry of repentance. Now, fast forward, Jesus is now asking them, what did you do with that revealed truth that came from John, that he was not the Messiah, that he had come with the ministry of repentance? So why are you coming to ask me about my authority? Now, the way it comes across is this way. The way it applies to us is this. What have you done with the revealed truth of John? That's simply the question. What John said, what have you done with it? And so why are you asking me about the authority when you have not engaged with the ministry of John? Because the ministry of John, if you had engaged with it, would have taken you on a route towards understanding that I am the Messiah to come. How does that apply to us? Simple. Many of us ask questions about our future, about our destiny, about our purpose in life. And those are great questions. You know, as a matter of fact, in the last 10, 20 years, in fact, I think about 20, 30 years ago, there was this explosion of teaching in the body of Christ asking people, what is your purpose? You know, what is your destiny? What is your future? Oh, you don't know. Oh, go and find out. You know, and people started running out of skeleton. Lord, what is my purpose? What is my mission? What is my, you know, destiny and all those things? Now, what Jesus is saying is this. What have you done with the revealed truth? What have you done with the revealed truth of John? What have you done with that before you begin to ask about the authority of the person that John actually spoke about? Don't forget where I started from. Jesus knew these guys were not sincere. They were just looking for a trap to trap him through his words. But there is something deeper, which is a principle for you and I. And the question is this. What have we done with the things that have been revealed to us? Before we begin to ask about purpose, about destiny, about those things that appear concealed, what have we done, for instance, about the issue of mercy, forgiveness? These are plainly revealed in the Word of God to us. What have we done about righteousness, about repentance, about repentance from sin, about service to God? These are things that have been revealed to us. What have you done about prayer? What have you done about the study of God's word? What have we done about patience in the presence of provocation? What have we done with those? Now, the simple reason why God is probably not even giving us a clue about the things that we are asking about, which appears concealed, is simply because we have done nothing about that which has been revealed to us. What have we done about supporting the people that are less privileged? What have we done about all of these things that we know they are right? What have we done with them? Now, the question that these guys are going to be asking, they ask Jesus, is, what is it about your authority? And Jesus is telling them, you need to go back to what John taught you and apply yourself to that. Then you can graduate into asking about these things, about purpose, about destiny, about my future. But you need to go back to what John told you about repentance from sin. And the same way it is to us. You know, I have come across many believers these days, over the years, in my short years of ministry. They are so much consumed about what will happen in my future. What will happen to my purpose in life? What is actually my purpose? You know, why am I here? And all of those things. Those questions are not bad at all. You know, but like the Bible says here, Jesus told them point blank, neither will I tell you. I won't tell you. I won't tell you the question you have come to ask. Rather, I'm going to be asking you a more important question. What have you done with John's ministry? Why are you asking about my messianic authority when you have done nothing about John's ministry? And that principle is true throughout God's word. Because there are things that are revealed to us, people of God. There are things that God has shown us about the path to righteousness as believers. They are simple, they are straightforward, they are not ambiguous, they are not complex, they are not complicated in any form or shape. But we are doing nothing about that. All we want to know about God, just tell me, in 10 years' time, is this business going to be okay? In 20 years' time, where am I going to be? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my children? Those are not bad questions, but they are really bad questions for somebody who has deliberately ignored the simple truth of John. And I'm challenging you, people of God, today. Stop worrying yourself about all of these things. Stop worrying yourself about, if you are a believer, you are in the hand of him that holds the world. Your future is secured, is sorted. You know, and that's why, you know, when I saw those guys reading their palms and all those things, I just laughed. I love that their ignorance, because you need not to check any palms or feet. You know, by the way, the guy that is checking the palms and the feet, I'm not sure, maybe it's as clueless as the person whose arms and feet they're checking. But you need nothing of those. What do you need to do? Engage with the revealed truth. The concealed one is actually in the revealed. You know what? If these guys are engaged and aligned themselves with the truth preached by John, which is repentance from sin, that will have taken them to knowing Christ and the authority of the Messiah. It's not rocket science. But they want to jump the gun. And that's why Jesus says, I am not going to give you any clue. I'm not going to answer you. And this is Luke chapter 20. Look at what the Bible says as we begin to round up. Luke chapter 20. Verse 8, it says, and Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. My advice to you, people of God, is that let's engage with what is revealed. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children. Let's engage with this revealed truth about mercy, about forgiveness, about patience, about prayer, about serving God, about engagement with the discipline of the church and the family. These are things that are revealed to us. Let's begin to engage with them and not bother ourselves about what's going to happen in 10 years, in 20 years, whether it will work for you or it will not work for you. Those are concealed things. And I can tell you, the more you engage with the revealed, the clearer the concealed becomes. The more you engage with the revealed, the clearer the concealed will become. Jesus says, I won't tell you. So stop getting frustrated that you're not getting the answers that you request for those questions, regarding those questions. Engage with him. Trust him. Engage with righteousness, with faith, with long-suffering, with patience, with kindness, with service to God and to humanity. And gradually you will see the Lord actually revealing to you the questions, the higher question, the deeper question, the more important, seemingly more important question about your future to you. The question this morning, people of God, is, what are you doing with what has been revealed? And that's why I said, these are times when perhaps our best questions are actually, or our best answers are actually questions. Let us pray.